Blog Talk Radio.
All right. All right, you ready?
I'm all set.
All right. Good deal.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you today. And as always, if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8 or 8:30 tonight. And today, we're going to talk about, Beeb. Jarrell Big Baby Miller pops again. Another positive test. Friend of the show. We'll have all the details here. I'm kind of bummed about this, Beeb.
I'm lost for words.
I was with you. Well, as soon as I read this, man, I was like, what? Again? What was this guy, like Charlie Sheen? He gets like 50,000 chances? I mean, right, really? Like,
yeah,
come on, man.
I just can't believe.
Awful, awful. And Beeb's boy, Oscar De La Hoya, at it again, and we'll tell you what his latest nonsense is this time. But I tell you what, first, we're going to get started with Miguel Berchelt versus Elizar Valenzuela. Berchelt wins by TKO in the sixth round over Valenzuela. This was, I'll tell you, a one-sided beatdown from start to finish. Valenzuela was game, but at no point was he in the fight. At no point did he have a shot at winning. At no point should he have even stepped in that ring or been in that ring with Miguel Berchelt. Berchelt knocked him down at the end of the first, finished him off in the sixth. This now sets up a showdown with Oscar Valdez. That's if Valdez wins his next fight. I don't know about you, but I think Berchelt runs right through him, Beeb. I don't know, man. He looked pretty good last night. Now, granted, it wasn't against the stiffest opposition, but we've seen him before. The guy's tough, man. That guy's real tough.
Yeah, he's real patient, takes his time in there. Doesn't give you much to punch at. He doesn't make many mistakes.
No.
But he's really good at picking up on his opponent's mistakes. So if you get a little over anxious against a guy like Berchelt and you make one mistake and you overextend on one punch and leave yourself open, he's going to capitalize. He's not going to let you off the hook. So
no. And Valdez is good, but I mean, you know, he's been knocked down before and everything like that. And he's shown the ability to be caught, put it that way. And he's also shown the ability to come back after he's been caught. But, you know, for me, I think Berchelt is just going to be way too much for him.
It'll be an interesting matchup. It'll be a very interesting matchup.
Do you think, I mean, who do you like in that? Who do you favor there?
I would favor Berchelt, but I don't think it would be an easy fight for him.
You don't think it's going to be an easy fight for him?
I don't want to sleep on Valdez.
You think Berchelt knocks him out, or you think it goes to a decision?
I could see it going the distance, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I could.
Carlos Cabrera in the chat says Valdez is too small, not enough power either. I got to go along with it, man. Along with it for sure. Berchelt is right now, I think he's the guy right now in that division. So we'll find out, though.
Yeah.
Also, Top Rank this week, they were really hyping up the Maloney brothers. We kind of heard about this all week. The hype job, you know, not hype job, but they did a hype job on the Maloney brothers. I don't mean that they're hype jobs. I just meant that they're hyping them up. They're very good fighters. Andrew Maloney versus Joshua Franco. The upset of the week here is Joshua Franco beats Andrew Maloney in a close unanimous decision by the scores of 115-112. 114, 113 twice. Franco dropped Maloney in the 11th, and that definitely seemed to be the difference in the fight. Franco came back you know, toward the end of this fight, he really started coming on. But, you know, Maloney, you know, it was one of those things, man. I tell you, Maloney is it was a close fight. Definitely had Franco winning, but it was a close fight, as indicated with the scoring. Chacal, Chacal texted me after this fight, or like, you know, it was during the fight. He said, man, Maloney sucks. I guess he had put money on Maloney. He's always betting on the fights, man. That was just so funny, man. When he texted me, I just started
laughing.
You know
why I feel bad? Because he texted me before the, like, the day before the fight.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me who I like. and I liked Maloney.
I did too. He did the same thing to me, and I told him, he was like, what do you think about this fight? I said, yeah, I like Maloney in this fight. You know?
But I have to disagree with you on one point. I didn't think this fight was close.
Really?
No.
Oh, wow.
I thought Franco won about maybe 8 rounds in this fight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like I said, man, it's I tell you that, and you know, if you look at the scorecards though, that knockdown was pretty much the difference, no?
It was, but I disagree with the scoring.
Yeah.
I thought I argue that Franco won at least 8 rounds. Arguably
yeah.
9.
Outlaw just said 8-4 Franco. Yeah, Outlaw just said 8-4 Franco.
Yeah, I had 8-4.
But Franco's the house fighter at the bubble, you know. I mean, that's what they call it, the bubble, right? That's where they fought.
Yeah.
You know, that little empty studio or wherever they're at. So he was the house fighter at the bubble, so he didn't get the benefit of the doubt.
What was amazing to me is watching the two brothers fight and seeing how different they fight.
You would think
because they're twins, they're brothers, they train together, they would have some more similarities. But Andrew Maloney, with all due respect, he looked lost on the inside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the other brother.
The other brother looked like a master on the inside.
Right?
He looked like, I don't want to get too crazy, but he looked like Chavez Senior on the inside, the way he was positioning his body. Like, you know, we talk about this over and over again, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but fighting on the inside is all body positioning, you know? And
that's all it is.
It was mentioned during the broadcast by both Tim Bradley and Andre Ward. You know, you have Maloney, who is an outside guy. He likes to stick and move. He likes to kind of fight on the perimeter. He likes to circle his opponent from the outside, measure him from the outside, throw the straight shot. And when you are on the outside, you're able to stand tall, and you're able to not have to really position your head and shoulder outside of your opponent's shoulder. So you can have that body positioning. But the problem is, a lot of fighters who just don't know how to fight on the inside, they keep that same body positioning when they go up close. It's like a sniper. When you're a sniper, you're using a long AR-15 to hit your target from 500 yards away. But you can't use that same AR-15 with the same efficiency if you're up close on someone. That's when the pistol comes in handy. See what I'm saying? It's the same in boxing. You can't be long and tall on the inside. You need to be short and compact. Case in point, you know, comparing the AR-15 to the pistol, to the 9mm. So, you know, and again, I want to point to a fight, Shane Mosley versus Antonio Margarito, because Shane Mosley's not a great inside fighter. He's a mid-range guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, I mean, not everyone can be a great inside fighter, but you're going to have to know how to nullify a guy who is a great inside fighter. When you watched Mosley in that fight, he grabbed Margarito, and he would walk him back and lean on him and put his weight on him and made it taxing for Antonio Margarito. And then he would push him off, and then he would punch off the clinch. So it wasn't like he fought him on Margarito's terms, but you got to take – if you're not going to fight a guy on the inside, you got to take that inside game away from him. And Andrew Maloney was not able to do that at all.
No, he really wasn't. And I think, you know, to your point, like you said, fighting on the inside is all about positioning, you know. I mean,
all
it really is. and you have to move. You have to put yourself in certain positions and everything like that. And yeah, one brother does it and one brother doesn't.
You know? You fight tall on the outside and you fight small on the inside.
Yeah.
And Maloney was fighting tall on the inside, and that was his detriment in this fight, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure, man. Now his other brother fought a couple days later, Jason Maloney versus Leonardo Baez. And Jason Maloney looked really good against Baez. The body punching did him in. It was the body work by Maloney. After the seventh round, Baez couldn't continue, so Maloney wins via TKO. Talk about the other Maloney here, Jason Maloney here, and the inside. Now, the biggest difference, obviously, were the inside. One brother goes inside, one brother doesn't. He looked good here. He looked really good on the inside, yeah?
But also, Maloney was switching things up a little bit because he could fight adequately enough on the outside to hold his own on the outside as well.
Yes.
But his bread and butter is on the inside. But he can still, you know, fight adequately enough on the outside. Whereas with all due respect to Andrew, he had zero inside game and he had no way of stopping Franco's inside game. But yeah, Maloney, picture perfect, sat down, bent his knees, sat down, tucked his chin, got really low, and again, he was stepping around Baez, stepping around on the outside of his shoulder, wrapping the punches around, wrapping them around the elbows. And that's what you got to do, you know? It's all about positioning, you know? And you got to know how to dig those shots into the body. And also, too, you know, he was shortening up the hook upstairs on the inside very well, too. The difference between Jason and Andrew is Andrew was only fighting one way and could not switch things up. Jason was throwing everything but the kitchen sink at this Baez kid, who was pretty tough in his own right. He could fight a bit too. You know, he wasn't a novice in there at all.
He wasn't there for a payday.
No, but Jason Maloney, he showed us a little bit of everything in that fight. He was extremely versatile in that fight, which was stark contrast to his brother Andrew.
And you know what? I didn't notice this. Do they have the same trainer? They have the same trainer? Or they have different trainers?
I didn't even pay attention.
I didn't pay attention to it either. My guess is that they have the same trainer. I don't know. But that's my guess, you know.
But I would assume so.
I would think that Andrew needs to switch trainers, you know what I mean, and find somebody that either he's got, you know, or it could just be he doesn't want to fight on the inside. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he needs to talk to his brother. And again, you know, some guys are just not going to be Chavez Sr.-esque type fighters on the inside.
Yeah.
But do what Shane Mosley, like, add a wrinkle to your game where you're able to, you know, take the inside game away from somebody else and fight the fight on your terms. Like Muhammad Ali knew how to nullify guys on the inside, albeit he would grab them and pull them behind the head and got away with it.
Hey, head control. That's how you do it. That's the first rule of defense is head control, you know?
But he would nullify guys on the inside, you know?
Yeah. Insane, man.
Floyd was great at Floyd could fight on the inside, but he really didn't like to because fighting on the inside brings more risk, and Floyd is not a risk type fighter.
No,
he could fight a little bit on the he could fight pretty well on the inside when he wanted to, but he knew how to tie guys up. And Floyd was a lot stronger than people gave him credit for. He would hold guys and really not so much.
Strong guy. I mean, you know, listen, man, you do this day in and day out and stay in that kind of shape. You got to be a strong guy. You got to have something there. I mean, they're all strong. At this level, at this professional, they're all strong.
But he's deceptively strong. I mean, if you could walk back Canelo Alvarez, a guy who was probably at least 20 pounds heavier than you on fight night, that's, you know, that was, to me, arguably his most impressive fight. As crazy as that may sound, because that was, you could say what you want about Alvarez, but he had 40-something fights. You know, he had beaten Trout. He had beaten good guys.
Yeah,
like
no. He was a strong kid. I mean, the strength and everything didn't change. Now his boxing ability changed.
Now he's not. Don't get me wrong. He's improved a lot.
For sure.
But he wasn't no cupcake when he fought Mayweather either. Oh, he was too great. He had 45 fights. 45 fights in. He was already a world champion. Everyone's like, everyone acted like it was like an NFL team playing a high school team. It was,
well, you know what it was? You know why? Because they look at Canelo now and see where he is now versus see where he was then. And that's why they say it was green. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but again, he had 40-some-odd fights, I mean, or however many he had, you know. And look, man, I mean, listen, man, Floyd wasn't like Pernell Whitaker, you know, he couldn't knock you out, but those shots hurt, you know, and the same thing with Floyd. Floyd may not have put the punches together, like, you know, and knocked you out at welterweight.
Not a lot of volume.
Right.
Yeah.
But those shots did hurt. It's not like those shots don't hurt. There's shots to the stomach, there's shots to the face. Because I've never seen anybody just walk right through his shots and come at him.
The thing is this, too. If you're hitting a guy perfectly clean and flush, and you're doing it enough times, it's gonna take its toll. You know?
For sure.
You know, Paul Malignaggi said, I don't care if people say I can't punch, but if I'm hitting you a couple hundred times in a fight, the accumulative damage, you're going to fail it. You know what I mean? No one's going to sit there and say, oh, this guy can't punch. Go ahead and hit me.
I love when they say feather fisted or whatever. Okay, well, you stand in front of Malignaggi, let him hit you. You tell me how light he hits.
I'm not going to let Malignaggi punch me in the face.
I'm not going to purposely let him punch me in the face. I'll tell you that. You know, I'll do everything I can to avoid those shots.
I'm not going to stick my chin out and say, go ahead, give me everything you got.
No.
I ain't doing that.
Especially with a guy who knows how to hit, knows how to turn his hips and everything like that, put his legs in the punch. No. No, thank you. I'm good. I'll do my best to dodge that punch.
I wouldn't even let Robbie punch me in the face for free.
Oh, Robbie would tag you anyway. Right? Robbie said he's going to hit you in the face. He's going to get hit.
I think ringside Robbie could probably take me out if I let him hit me. Right? Probably text me right now. Tell Beeb to shut up.
Eric, I would never hit Beeb. You know?
Beeb think I would hit him, Eric? I'm not that type of person.
I'll tell you what, Robbie's probably at the gym right now, just hitting the bags, you know.
I have a picture of my face.
Beeb.
Right. Beeb. Fucking Beeb. Beeb.
He's killing his bag right now.
Beep,
out, you know.
Beep, beep, beep.
Every right hand he throws with bad intentions got your name on it, son.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
Carlos Cabrera said that you know, Franco I think he said Franco wasn't the best opponent or something like that. Or Baez wasn't that great of an opponent. You know, I get you. I get where you guys are coming from. And, you know, there's a good fight coming up on Tuesday, but I'm looking at the schedule and it's like, Jesus, man. You know, like, I get it. But you guys got to start putting some effort in here, man. Let's put something together that's going to keep, you know, keep people interested.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, I mean, we got it and it's back and I get it. And it's been going on for a few weeks now. But quite honestly, man, these the cards have left a lot to be desired, put it that way.
I give them a C. I'll give them a C. I wasn't crazy about that main event, though, last night. I wasn't crazy about that. That, you know.
It was a one-way run over. So one-sided beat down, man. I mean,
yeah,
give me something here. I mean, like.
It was a little bit too one-sided.
You know, like, give me something here, man. I mean, listen, I'm not asking for, you know, we're not asking for Fury and Wilder here. I'm just asking for something, you know, give me something here. You know, Valdez, you know, give me Valdez and Brichelt or something like that. That's not a big pay-per-view fight, you know, but they'll probably put it on pay-per-view. I mean, just give me something here. You know, and the PBC, I think, was supposed to be back this week. Not going to be back, and we'll explain that here in a little bit. But I don't get it, man. I don't get it. It's, you know, we've had, like I said, man, we've had a lot now. We've had some time. start putting some fights together. White Povetkin is coming up, but I'm not real interested in that fight, to be honest with you. I'm not.
I mean, I don't hate it,
but Povetkin's way past his prime.
Povetkin's done.
You know what? I mean, he's got a big name in the heavyweight division. You know, we all know his name. But, you know, I mean, come on, man. And what about Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano? Those two can fight. You guys can put that on DAZN. They were going back and forth. Zena from Twitter, Vinny Paz's PR woman, sent me a link with Eddie Hearn is going back and forth with Amanda Serrano on Twitter. You know, and guys, just table it. And are you going to fight? Fight, man. Just give the contract. Eddie Hearn is killing himself here because he should have had fights already going, especially over there in Europe where this stuff is dying down. Over here in the U.S., I get it because it's ticking up over here again. It's just back ticking up. You know, what do we have, like almost 40,000 cases today again? You know, or something crazy. I know we had about 1,000 in Ohio. I mean, like, it's ticking up over here. I get it. Over there, it's on its way out. You know? Yeah. So, who knows, man? Who knows? It's frustrating, though. It's very frustrating, man.
Where did they want to stage that fight? Where they were trying to put that fight in the United States or the UK? It was supposed to be in the UK, right?
I would imagine in the UK. I mean, right now, they could set it up anywhere. I mean, honestly, because it doesn't matter if it's in the UK or the US because there's nobody there.
Yeah, but is there travel allowed from U.S. to U.K. and U.K. to U.S.? Is that even allowed yet?
I don't know.
Because there was a European ban, right?
Ah, you know what? You could be right. You could be right.
So.
How is Dana doing it at Fight Island? Where is that at? That's in.
I don't know if that's. And I don't believe that's in Europe. I mean,
it's in. I want to say like the Abu Dhabi, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
Oak Cliff General, salute, my man, in the chat.
Got some new subscribers here, man.
I know. I love it. I love it.
Thank you guys for supporting.
JC, salute. Outlaw, salute. Bronze Plumber, salute. Nice job, guys. Good stuff out there. Carlos Cabrera, salute. Raphael Dawkins in the chat. Good stuff, my man.
Yeah. Up late.
Yeah, right? He's over there in England, man.
Omar Aguilera. What are my thoughts on him? I don't have a ton of thoughts on him yet, to be honest.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. So Tuesday, June 30th. Now, this is a fight I'm definitely watching, definitely making time for. Alex Saucedo versus Sonny Frederickson on ESPN 10 rounds, junior welterweights. Beeb, do you know where Sonny Frederickson was from?
The great, great state of Ohio.
That's right. Title town, baby. Friend of the show, Sonny Frederickson, by the way. Friend of the show.
He's a good fighter.
He's a very good fighter. And you know what? I'm picking him to win that fight.
I would concur.
I'm picking him to win that fight. Love it. Love it. Salvador Brasseno versus Josue Vargas, 10 rounds junior welterweights on the undercard there. July 2nd, Thursday. Now, Jose Pedraza versus Mikel Lapierre, 10 rounds junior welterweights. That fight got moved and will take place. It was canceled because of somebody in Lapierre's corner tested positive. I don't know if it was coach, his manager, I don't know, somebody. But that fight got moved to July 2nd, so that will hopefully take place Thursday. And then Jose Enrique Vivas versus Carlos Jackson, 10 rounds featherweight. Albert Bell, also from the great state of Ohio, versus Mark Bernaldez, 10 rounds junior welterweights. And Robeson Ramirez, jerking the curtain on that card here, versus Adan Gonzalez, 6 rounds featherweights. They're keeping that guy busy, and I think they have to keep that guy busy.
That's the guy that beat him.
Huh?
That's the guy that beat him in his first fight.
Is that the guy?
Yeah, they got him back.
Nice.
Big rematch. That's going to be great, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you kind of wonder, man. I got to wonder, man. So they've been keeping him as busy as possible, and I think that's a good move. When you come out and you lose, you know, he came out to a huge, I mean, a lot of publicity rolling behind this guy. You know, he's a gold medalist, everything like that. He beat their guy, Shakur Stevenson, and comes out and gets beat in his very first fight, man. That's not a good look.
No.
So hopefully they can call it a hiccup, nerves, whatever.
It was a shocker.
Yeah, yeah. And then due to July 4th, there's going to be no fights this weekend, but then they'll pick up on Tuesday and Thursday of next week. Tuesday, Thursday. It looks like Tuesday and Thursday. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So let's see here. Yeah. All right, and that's it. That's it. Oh man, he got TL. Stop hating. Title Town, baby. Title Town. Why are you hating on it?
Can't hate on Title Town.
Yeah, you can't hate on that, man. Can't hate on it. Carlos Cabrera just said Saucedo is a heavy favorite. I get it. I know he's a heavy favorite, but I'm telling you, Sonny Fredrickson can bang. He can fight, man. He's a good fighter.
We're going with Fredrickson with the upset.
Title Town, baby. That's what we're going with.
I'm riding with Fredrickson, then.
Riding with it. What are you going to do? He's riding with it. We're riding with Fredrickson, baby. He's a friend of the show.
Ohio's my third home, man.
Yeah. What? Third home.
Well, I got Manchester. I got that flat in Manchester.
You got the flat in Manchester.
Massachusetts is gonna cease to be my home because I'm getting sick of this shit here, man. driving to New Hampshire to go to the gym.
Tell him about that story because he told me. All right, so I read on Facebook today. Beeb was talking about going to the gym. He said he likes the Arc Trainer, which I don't really care for because it's just too. I don't know. It's weird. To me, it's a weird movement. But you said it's better on your knees than the elliptical or whatever. But
hey,
I saw this post.
The elliptical was hurting me a little bit.
Huh.
I didn't even realize. I was getting, like, lower back pain.
Oh, okay. Pain.
And then your foot goes, like, downward instead of, like, it's not.
Yes. Okay. Manny Gatillo says you guys are delusional like Donald Trump. So B posted today, and he said he went to the gym. And he really likes the Arc Trainer and everything like that. I said, cool. I said, I didn't know the gym's opened over there, you know. So we get on air. So before we start talking, we get on air. I'm talking to him and stuff like that. And I said, you go to the gym today? He's like, yeah. And I said, so they open up gyms down there. B, tell him.
This governor is a pussy. He won't open up any. He's adding, you know, everyone has phases, like phase 1, 2, and 3. We have phase 2, step 2. And then he's not opening up the gyms here until July 6th. And then I'm hearing that the gyms are – you have to make an appointment to go to the gym now, and you can only go for an hour. I'm like, what is this freaking cupcake shit? Come on.
What do you think? You can only go to the gym for an hour?
That's what I'm hearing. I hope it's not true. But I'm hearing that they're only going to let you go for an hour, and you got to call.
How long do you go to the gym for?
Honestly,
yeah.
Sometimes if I have a day off and I'm not really doing it, I can stay 3 hours easy.
Really?
My average gym session's 2 hours, but I do an hour cardio, man. I do because I do like low intensity cardio, so I like to do like longer. I like to do slow, steady cardio. I'm not like these fucking guys going like.
Not like HIIT sessions or anything like that.
I try to preserve my friggin' joints, man.
Right.
I'm just trying to burn fat, and the slow, steady state helps you recuperate from the weight because it's good for your circulation and it gets the blood flowing. And I like to go to the gym to feel good. I don't like leaving the gym feeling beat up. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Those days of doing wind sprints are over. I got fucking jacked up knees anyways. That ain't happening.
Man, 1 hour, huh? That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I like to preserve my joints too. That's why I just sat and watched TV today, you know. I'm not trying to do anything heavy. So you went to where to go to the gym? You went to all the way. You live in Massachusetts, and then you went
drive,
to...
I had to drive 26 miles, 40 minutes.
To New Hampshire to go to the gym. That's a dedicated guy, guys. You got to give him some dap for that.
Yep.
JC said you got to invest in a home gym.
I got an exercise mat. That's all I have in here.
Why don't you? Yeah, I was thinking about that. Why don't you get a? Why don't you get an elliptical or like a, you know, one of those machines?
I'm gonna see if I can get an Arc Trainer because the elliptical, the ceilings are too low here.
Yeah, or look on Craigslist. I'm sure they got equipment on there. They always got, like, exercise equipment on there.
Yeah. I love walking, though. I've been doing a lot of walking outside. I love the walking.
I love it. I love it, too. Like, when there's a nice day or something like that, yeah.
Walking's the best.
But you do, like, crazy walks, though. I mean, like, I go for, like, 2 or 3 miles or something. Anywhere from, like, about 2 to 3 miles or something like that. Just a walk around the neighborhood, you know.
I do, like, 8-mile walks.
Yeah, you're, like, insane with it, man. You, like, go – well, that one you texted me was, like, 16 miles or something like that.
I did 14 miles yesterday.
Jeez.
Yeah, I walked 14 miles yesterday. I like doing cardio, but, see, I like to do – that's why I don't do crazy intensity cardio, because I like to do it. So if I like to do it where it's like pleasurable, not like I'm, like I said, I don't like fucking killing myself.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, for sure, man.
I hate that achy feeling in my joints the next day. So.
Yeah. Raphael Dawkins says cycling is the best. Cycling's good, man. We got that Peloton. That's nice too. It's really good. And it doesn't really hurt your knees or anything.
Yeah. My sister cycles.
Yeah. JC said gym equipment's on demand. I believe it. Yeah, it really is, man. There's a lot of stuff, like, since we've been locked down, a lot of stuff, like, on, you know, that you wouldn't think of, like that Nintendo Switch or whatever. That's my daughter wanted one to try to find one. Ain't nowhere to be found, you know, stuff like that. I mean, yeah, a lot of stuff is like that now, right?
Yeah.
So, let's see. All right, let's get to the news here. We're going to start this off, Beeb, with our train wreck of the week. Where else could you start? Where else could you start, right?
This is so disappointing.
Oh, boy. Friend of the show, Jarrell, Big Baby Miller, popped for PEDs again. Jarrell Miller tested positive again for a banned substance. And I don't know, the rumor is that it's a substance that he's already taken. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say he's been banned for it before. He's been popped for it before. So it had to be like a PED like last time or whatever. So it wasn't, you know, I mean, whatever, you know. Carl Moretti of Top Rank had this to say about the situation from Boxing Scene. He would be placed on temporary suspension by the Nevada State Athletic Commission on Monday morning. We are currently working on a replacement opponent for the main event on July 9th. Carlos Takam has incidentally stepped up for that. Now, I don't know whether he's going to fight or not, but he's told him he's ready to fight. Miller hasn't fought since November of 2018, Beeb. He hasn't fought until, you know, yeah, Dawkins said it was GW 1516, and that was at whatever it was, that you know, whatever that was last time.
You know what that is? It's
steroid, right?
It's technically, it's a PED. It's not really a steroid, but it's a SARM. It's what's called a SARM. And
I remember that, yeah.
You know, it's a fat burning thing, but it's really good for stamina. This is why I think this guy has some stamina issues, because he keeps taking things that enhance stamina. And I heard that, like, if you take that stuff, you can do cardio like for days. It just gives you such an energy boost, man.
Where do they find this stuff at? I mean, for real, like, if I wanted to get, like, some GW 1516.
You can buy that shit online. Yeah, they sell that online.
What?
You can get that online.
No, really?
I found it online.
So is it like an illegal drug or something like that?
It's a SARM, yeah. It's a SARM.
So when you say, okay, so, like, but is it, like, illegal? Like, I could, like, cocaine or something like that? Or, like I couldn't buy, like, steroids at GNC?
SARMs, I think SARMs are legal, but they're not legal, you know, they're not allowed in competition.
Gotcha.
No, they're different than steroids.
Gotcha.
You know? Yeah, you can buy SARMs.
That's crazy. So he's doing this for endurance,
you know,
and probably lose,
you know,
weight and stuff.
What a SARM is, it's called a selective androgen receptor modulator. What a SARM. So.
Crazy. Raphael Dawkins says he probably gets into the gyms he works out at. Bodybuilders hook him up. You know, Claudio Mario says dark web.
Bodybuilders don't really use SARMs. They use steroids.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them don't use SARMs. some
they wouldn't have the they wouldn't have a reason to, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
He said Carlos Cabrera says a lot of legal pre-workouts have these in them.
Nah, you're not gonna find this in a pre-workout book. You know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Manny Gutierrez says he got in the same place Canelo got his.
I guess SOMs are illegal now, I guess, but people are still selling them on the. So, okay, SOMs are legal to buy in the United States when you buy them at a supplement store, and if the SOM you are buying is in capsules for human consumption and is labeled, okay.
But how much, you know what I'm real curious of, like, of this GW1516, if they put them in, like, say, pre-workouts or whatever, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever you buy them or in capsule form, like, you're not going to buy, like, it's probably going to be mixed with other stuff. So I kind of wonder, like, how much he's taken. You know what I mean?
The real big downside to taking these SOMs are? It really does a lot of damage to your liver if you take them long term.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bad for your liver.
Wow.
Yeah.
Raphael Dawkins says it's very toxic. Wow. I don't get it.
Yeah.
What did I tell you when this whole thing went down last time with Anthony Joshua? All right. He's getting ready to fight Anthony Joshua. This whole thing goes down. And I said, if another promoter picks him up, it's going to be suicide.
Eddie Hearn called this. I mean, you got to give props to Eddie Hearn on this one. I mean, he called it.
Yeah. I said, it's going to be suicide if another promoter picks him up because you're just asking for trouble. And here it is. You know, I mean, you got a guy you give him another chance. Bob Arum picks him up. Why Bob Arum picked him up, I have no idea. You give him a chance. You put him on your ESPN card. All right. Main event. Not even a co-main. You put him on the main event with all eyes on him because there ain't no other sports going on right now. You put him on that main event, and he does the same exact thing. Not even – doesn't vary it up. He does the same exact thing. I don't understand, man. I really don't get it. Like, did you think you were not going to get caught? You know what I mean? Did you really think you weren't going to get caught? Let me tell you what. The thing is, man, it's got to be like a self-sabotage kind of thing. Because it's almost like he doesn't want to succeed. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but like he gets close enough to it, and he's just got to be, there's something there. You know, there's some kind of mental shut off. 92 AKU says train wreck of the week should have been top rank. You're right. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. You know, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, Bob Arum to take him on was just a stupid, stupid move. And hindsight, of course, being 2020. But I said this to begin with. I said, if I'm a promoter, there is no way I can sink any money into this guy. None. Because you don't know. How much money has Bob Arum sank into him now? How much did he leave him hanging now? That's a big deal. I mean, what were your thoughts? I mean, what are your thoughts on this? And you're talking about a lifetime ban. You know, people are talking about a lifetime ban. He won't get a lifetime ban, but quite honestly, his career is over. I really believe his career is over because I think they'll probably throw the book at him.
No one's going to take a risk on him now because you don't want to put him in, you know, get a card together and not know if this guy's going to get popped for something and the event has to get scrapped. I mean, he's hurting a lot of people here. He's hurting the promoter. He's hurting, you know, the network. He's hurting everyone that's involved in putting the card together, you know?
What about, like, this was the fight with Joshua. That was life-changing money. You know what I mean? That was life-changing money. And I'll tell you another thing. If he beats, you know, if he beat this guy, I believe it's Forrest, I don't know. It was a squash match. He goes out and he looks good. I mean, Tyson Fury could possibly be next. That's not a stretch. They're both promoted by the same guy.
Yeah.
That's not a stretch at all, man.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's a shame, bro. It's really a shame.
And so he cost himself money in that respect. But that first one, I mean, how would you, I mean, you know, listen, man, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a doctor or anything. But how would you have felt watching Andy Ruiz just demolish Joshua in that first fight? And you're at home on the couch, and you couldn't be there because you cheated. And you do it again. There's got to be something there. There's got to be some mental thing there, man.
I'll tell you one thing that I think is the problem with him. He's an extremely lazy, undisciplined person, and usually people who take PEDs are guys who don't really want to put the effort in to work hard and get to that point. So they're looking for shortcuts. And this is a guy that just doesn't live the life of a fighter. I'm suspecting. I think he likes to eat. He doesn't like to do cardio type things, endurance type things. He likes doing, he probably enjoys lifting weights because it's not really a cardio type thing. He's all about being big and heavy and being strong and stuff. But you can't just take that into the ring with you when you know you have to go 12 3-minute rounds.
You know, and it's tough to say, you know, I get where you're coming from. But the guy, like, you know, the guy was a kickboxer. He's a high-level kickboxer.
Yeah, and he's probably taken drugs his whole career.
Yeah. I mean, you remember, what are those shows? Remember those shows, To Catch a Predator? You remember that with Chris Hansen or whatever, that guy from, I don't know what he was from. But, you know, all those guys, once they got caught, they all had the same rap. This is my first time. I never did anything like this before in my life. They all had the same rap, and this is the same thing here. I never did it. It's blah, 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 you know.
And this substance that he's taking, this SARM that he's taking, is all endurance. Like, this thing is just for endurance. So everyone's saying, how can he be so heavy and throw the amount of punches he throws? How does he put up such ball? Like, the amount of punches he was throwing as a heavyweight?
Yeah. You know what? I never thought about it, but you're probably right. He's probably been doing this his entire career.
Right,
because Glory. Listen, man, I don't think Glory has a real stringent testing protocol. Put it that way.
The thing. Bellator doesn't test for PEDs.
Really?
Not to my knowledge.
But I don't know.
Not to my knowledge. Look at all those years Fedor was fighting in Pride and Bellator. They started suspecting him of being on PEDs, you know. Maybe that was one of the reasons why he didn't want to go to the UFC, because he didn't want to get tested. Who knows? I'm speculating, of course, but, you know.
Yeah, Bronze Plummer says that he got popped in kickboxing previously. So there you go. Yeah, and then Raphael Dawkins.
Yeah, one time. I don't know if he got busted.
Dawkins said
times.
Multiple times, but.
I only heard of one time he got busted in kickboxing, but again, I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. What's going on? Ohio Runs Boxing in the chat.
My man.
There it is. But I tell you, man, he's just, I don't know, man. This is going to be a tough one to come back from. And, I mean, so do you think, so let me ask you a question. Do you think he comes back from this?
Do you think he fights again? They got to give him at least a 2-year ban after this.
The last one, they try to pull that loophole thing. And I don't know that he got suspended, but they said, well, he wasn't really in a fight. He wasn't, he wasn't really sanctioned. Something about he didn't have a license. They found some stupid loophole or whatever, where they couldn't do anything or something. But listen, man, he hasn't fought since November of 2018. I think they'll institute at least a 2-year ban on him, all right? A 2-year ban on him.
I would say so, yeah.
At least. They're not going to ban him for life. They'll put a 2-year ban on him. So at that point, it'll be 4 years. How old is this guy already?
I think he's 32-ish.
Yeah. So that's it. That's it. I mean, yeah, I think he gets Raphael says he gets a 2-year ban. I think he gets a 2-year ban also. But I think that's it. I don't think he can come back from this.
I don't see him come back.
I mean, that's the point, is that, he, you know, Rafael says he's 31, all right? He's 31 years old. So puts him at 33. He'll have been out for about 4 years. He hasn't fought since 2018. He'll be out for 4 years. You know, I mean, you got 2 years on the couch. I mean, really, seriously, like what? I mean, his career's done, son. And then nobody's going to touch that guy. Nobody is 100% nobody's touching that guy. Eddie Hearn's not going to give him a second chance. Bob Arum's not going to. No big promoter is going to give him a second chance.
No.
And he's good toxic. Luck.
He's toxic now.
Yeah. And good luck getting a title shot. You know what I'm saying? Even if he gets a comeback, he's done, son.
He's finished, bro.
So it doesn't matter at this point whether he gets a – if he gets a two-year ban, he's finished.
No.
You might as well just go back to teaching karate or whatever you were doing before you got here, man. You're done. And again, man, you think about all that money that he flushed between last time and this time. Dawkins says he's going to blow up to like 400 pounds. Yeah, Nacho says he's a pariah at this point. He'll be playing Nintendo for he'll be playing Nintendo Switch for the next 2 years. Yeah, that's if he can find a Nintendo Switch. Hey, good luck finding those. Tell you what, I'm still looking for one of those. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Elaine was like, can I get a – she was like, I want a Nintendo Switch. I'm like, I can't find them, man. What do you want me to do? I can't find them, man.
All that stuff is gone, bro.
It is. It's all gone, man. Ohio Runs Boxing says sex is his only way out. He's going to be the next Ron Jeremy, I guess. I don't know.
Amazing.
All right. Amazing, let's go to the phones here. 773.
What's up, guys?
773,
you
know
you're
live.
When he failed his first drug test, he's coming from Chicago.
Hey, what's up, man?
Nothing much. I heard about this news and had to chime in. When he failed his first drug test and they only gave him 6 months, I was shocked. I'm like, that's a slap on the wrist. For the cocktail of drugs that they found in his system, and he only got 6 months. I mean, most boxers, they only fight twice a year, once every 6 months. So it's really not even a big deal. So I was shocked with that, and I was also shocked because I'm assuming he's been on it his whole career. I'm assuming the drug testing stringency wasn't that strict in his previous fights. So he was able to get away with it, and all of a sudden, the drug testing picks up a little bit, and he's failing drug tests left and right. What a coincidence. So, I think they should be drug testing all year round, more fighters, even in the lower levels, the ones coming up, not just when they're about to have a big fight or take their next leap. What do you guys think?
Well, you're talking about a money issue there, and I mean, you know, it sounds good on paper to test all the amateurs and stuff like that, but they, you know, they got to have money to do it. They don't have sanctioning bodies over there and everything like that. It's the money's a little bit tighter over there than it is up top, you know. So I don't, you know, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
in a perfect world, yes, but again,
yeah, for sure,
we don't live in a perfect world.
Yeah,
you know?
I would agree with that.
It's definitely not a bad idea.
Not even amateurs.
I love the idea.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be amateurs, just the pros that are mid-tier. It's like the only time he's going to get tested is when he takes that next leap to fight for a title against Joshua. That's when the drug test really started to pick up, I'm guessing, and that's why he got caught. And since he got caught, he's come back and he got more strict drug testing. So it just seems like you're not even drug testing these guys until they get to a big fight. You're telling me all the money in boxing, they can't drug test some of these mid-tier pros, guys on the way up, the Hergoviches, Gerald Washington, the Charles Martins, these type of guys, they can't drug test them all year round. That's bullcrap. They need to cough up the money. Bob Arum and Eddie Hearn need to start paying to get these drug tests cause, to make this sport safe. I don't care how much it costs.
hey, Beeb, how does that go? I'm not 100% sure how that goes. Do the fighters pay for that or do the promoters? And what do you do about mid-level fighters who don't have a big promoter? You know?
The WBC is VADA. I don't think that they have to pay for the VADA. It's I thought the WBC took care of that because it's VADA. It's Voluntary Doping Agency. So
mm-hmm.
the same as the USADA.
But you still have to pay for that, I would imagine. Somebody's got to pay for that. The voluntary is just that you're volunteering to...
No, I don't think that the fighters have to pay for VADA.
Interesting.
Well,
yeah, we got to check that out. We got
to
look it up.
The way they do it is in the UFC, all the fighters under contract get drug tested under USADA. No matter if you're a prelim fighter or your main event, you all get drug tested. I feel like that's how they should implement their drug testing program. Everybody in the rankings should be getting drug tested 3 random times a year, at least something like that. I mean, that's the least they can do because the sport is too dangerous, too risky. But what you thought from that 6-month suspension originally? Because when I first heard that, I was like, it's a slap on the wrist. I mean, guys aren't going to fight 3 times a year, it seems like, anyways. So that was ridiculous. But now, it was up to me, lifetime ban. Take it easy.
Well, I tell you what, I would like to see it, that's for sure. I would like to see a lifetime ban. Thank you for the call, Kevin. Good call as usual. Let's go to, I like a lifetime ban, but it is not going to happen. I think he gets 2 years. I really do. I think he gets 2 years.
I believe the WBC pays for the VADA.
And then you in turn pay for it with the sanctioning fees and everything like that.
Yeah. I mean,
that makes sense.
The WBC pays for it.
All right. Area code 805. 805, you're live.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's me.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Nothing much. Just calling in about everything that's been going on lately. As far as Miller, I honestly think they should give him at least 3 years because 2 years is kind of too small of an amount, especially since this is the second time he's been caught. So I think 3 years would be the but
oh, he's not going to drop again.
You guys were saying, yeah. I think it's like you guys are saying, he's not going to get picked up.
What are you in Georgia? Use the same phone plan now?
What do you want, a burner phone right now?
What are you on the family plan with Georgie?
What are you calling from San Quentin with Georgie? What are you doing?
No. I can hear you guys perfectly
fine.
Are you on cricket now? You cut in again. Are you on cricket? Stop it.
No. Stop it. Okay.
Are you using Bulls Mobile?
No. Oh, okay. With Miller, I don't think that he gets a lifetime ban, but I think 3 years would definitely be fair at this point. And then at that point, no one's going to touch him, you know? So like you guys are saying, he's pretty much done. He might as well just find something else to do at this point. As far as the fights this week, the Maloney, the brothers, I mean, I have to admit, I was a little surprised that the first brother who fought Franco, I thought he had the tougher matchup versus Jason, the other brother who was fighting pretty much a somewhat of a, you know, built-up fighter in Baez, who I'd seen fight a couple of times, but I didn't think he was on the same level as Maloney. I thought that was more of a showcase fight for Jason Maloney, for sure. Whereas the other brother who fought Franco, I think they came in completely overconfident. They underestimated Franco, and they overlooked him, and that came back to bite him because once Franco, started attacking him and was able to, you know, get into the fight and realize that, like, Maloney wasn't, you know, as he wasn't all that, and he was able to hang with him and then gradually started to take the fight to him. And then, you know, he was able to steal the rounds, towards the end of the fight. And I thought he won the fight Based on the last three or four rounds, I thought he completely took the fight over at that point, and he outclassed Maloney. So that was a huge win for Franco, and it's a big win for Golden Boy too, because that was one of the prospects they signed, and that's another guy that won a world title now. So that's another feather in the cap of Golden Boy as far as like some of these young guys that they signed a few years ago that are starting to develop now into contender slash, you know, title holders. So that was big for them. As far as the fights this week coming up, I'm definitely looking forward to the one between Fredrickson and Saucedo. I think that could be a war for sure. The only question is that Fredrickson hasn't really fought anybody since he got beat down by I think I'm saying his name wrong, but it's Ergashov, the guy he fought on Showbox a couple years ago, because I thought that guy put a pretty nasty beating on him, and he hasn't really fought anybody since. He's just fought a couple of journeymen, so it'll be interesting to see what he has left.
That loss,
in
let
the
me
tank.
Tell you, let me tell you something, Notch. That referee cost him that fight. Referee cost Fredrickson that fight. Okay. Nobody from Ohio gets beat down like that. Referee definitely cost him that fight.
Yeah, I think his corner should have stopped it, to be honest, Eric. I thought they let him hang around too long. I thought that kid took a little bit more of a beating than he should have. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just
no
me.
Way.
So, but yeah,
I thought the ref definitely cost him the fight, Nacho. I don't know.
Okay. Well, like I said, we'll see. We'll see how he does on Tuesday. We'll see how he does on Tuesday against Salcedo, you know? So, the other fight, I mean, it's not a bad reschedule that they were able to put in place for Jamal Herring testing positive for COVID. They were able to reschedule the Pedraza LePierre fight for the main event on Thursday. So that's not a bad rescheduled fight in place. So, that should be an interesting one, interesting matchup as well. But, it just feels good to finally have some boxing back on because, man, this has been rough. 3 months with no fights.
Yeah,
going.
It really
it's
has.
Like, geez. Yeah, so it's just good to finally see something on television once again. I mean, hopefully the fights get better as time goes along, but, you know, we'll see. And then real quick with the ones last night. I mean, those were all setups for the guys that, you know, Burchell and then the other kid, Aguilar, and then the other kid, Picasso. You know, the guys they brought in were just journeymen. Although the guy that fought Burchell, Valenzuela, man, could that guy take a beating? I mean, he just got pounded on for six rounds. And if it wasn't for him finally getting his head snapped back, I don't think the referee would have stopped that fight because he was just letting that kid take a beating. It was incredible how much Burchell was pounding on him, and the guy just kept coming and coming. I was like, wow. So that was a prize. But I kind of agree with you guys. Even if Oscar Valdez does win his next fight and they make the fight between him and Burchell, I think Burchell's just too big. You can see it. He's just too big of a fighter for him, even at 130. I think he'd still have the size and the strength advantage over Valdez at this point. So I'd still pick him to beat Valdez. And, that's pretty much it. I guess I'll talk to you guys some other time because I'm sure you guys got other callers.
All right, buddy. Good
All
call
right.
as always,
All
man.
Right,
Nacho, caller of the year. Caller of the year, Beeb.
Thank you, brother.
He is caller of the year. He is caller of the year. I think he's way off on the Fredrickson fight. But, I think he's caller of the year, man.
All right, we'll give him a pass on that.
We'll give him a pass. Beeb, I'm going to ask you a question. Where do the best callers come from?
Ohio?
Yeah. 614, Columbus. You're live.
What's good, guys? Ohio runs boxing. You already know.
Oh, what's happening, man?
Pretty good, man.
Take it easy on Eric. Yeah, don't go in on him too hard, man. don't go in on Eric too hard, man. This is Coach C traumatized him. He's been open.
Coach C. Let me tell you what, I laid a beating down on Coach C. I haven't seen him since. Where's he been? He's been backing that rock out of North Carolina or wherever he's from.
He's in jail. He's in jail for assault after he destroyed you.
He's in jail for assault, son. He's hiding under a rock somewhere.
Hey, you guys, you remember the story a couple weeks ago with the Olympian who tested positive and she said she got it through sex?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I remember that story, right? Well, if
yeah.
Big Baby
is trying to say that Big Baby was oh, wow.
That's what Big Baby is. That's his only excuse to get from getting a lifetime ban. He would have to say it's through sex. Maybe if he has to say it's a male partner. But he would have to say that in order to get out of this situation.
Whoa! No, we are going down a big rabbit hole with that one. Maybe
hey,
he could say he slept
hey.
With her. Maybe he, say,
I don't
maybe
think,
he could say he
I don't
slept
think
with
he
her.
He got it
real,
basically from her boyfriend through her.
This could be a real soap opera. Right? You could say, hey, I was in the room. We had a threesome. Say we had a threesome.
Maybe. But that's
so they,
hey, this is the last resort. If I'm him, if I'm his guy, I'm
this is
telling
next video.
Him, you have to go this route. You have to go this route. Because this is the only, she could have
got
off
of
something.
He's
going to
be deaf. He's
going to
do something.
But you know what? I think this is good with Big Baby. He's never had confidence in himself to fight without it. And I don't know about you guys, but as long as he's been on PEDs, he still looks like crap. You know, he looks like crap at times. Yes, he throws a lot of punches, but he's not really an exciting fighter who's on PEDs. So imagine him not on PEDs trying to fight. I remember, I was saying this before, I remember being in high school. I couldn't, if I didn't have my hair cut and if I didn't have my earrings on, I didn't have confidence to talk to women. You just wasn't going to get me to talk to any type of women unless I had my little bling on and my hair cut. Other than that,
like
I'm
Samson.
Not doing it. And I think we,
I'm about to say, what are you, like Samson?
Hey, I think we all have those type of things where, well, we lack confidence in something, and we have to, you know, sometimes
like
we grow out of that. But,
like
you know, but for him, I just think it's the PEDs. He's never felt comfortable. He don't think he can fight without them. And when you throw away $6 million, then you get top rank, you know, and you blow that. It's just showing him that he just don't have confidence in his ability. And a lot of people can say what they want. I just don't find him. I don't find confidence in him. I don't think he's confident and worthy to be putting gloves on. Especially when fighters is dying in the ring and you still cheating and cheating and cheating. It's just enough is enough. But it's another thing.
A lot of people agree with me. A lot of people
you know,
agree,
I agree with
it.
I agree with it. 100%. 100%. He's right.
There's another thing about the guy Rick, before I get off, Rick, what's his name, Glacier. He always attacked Al Heyman for everything. But here's top rank. Who's responsible for signing a guy who had a bad history, okay? Top rank signing.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't mentioned Bob Arum. He ain't saying nothing. He's not putting the blame on Bob when Top Rank should get some of this blame because you signed this product. This you signed this guy. This is your investment. Why are you not monitoring him? So they do get a little bit of the blame. I don't care what nobody says. They should get some of the blame because here it is. You giving this guy another opportunity. What?
They look like idiots right now.
They do. They really look like idiots right now. You're right.
They look horrible right now.
Yeah, that was a dumb move, man. That really was.
It's a bad look for them.
I like I said, man, I called it when they did it. I said that was a stupid move by Arum to do it, man. That was bad.
Yeah.
And hindsight's again, man. Hindsight's always 20/20, but –
how naive am I? I believe that the guy could get, you know, could probably make good on a second chance, but I was dead wrong on that.
Now, listen, guys, Ohio has been involved in the last, what, fireball from the last one since Boo Boo Ray Mancini, since he had the death in the ring. Then we had one in 2015 in Youngstown on Jack Lowe's car from the kid from Detroit. He lost by Sean Taylor. He got killed in the ring. Then we had Charles Conwell out of Cleveland, Ohio with Patrick Day that happened. My question to you guys before I get off, when are we going? Is we going to wait to a boxer die in the ring from a guy testing positive for PEDs in order for them to change this? Is that what we're waiting for? That's my question. That's my call, guys, and I'm out.
All right. Hey, as usual, good call from Ohio. Ohio Runs Boxing. Catch him on Facebook, man. Catch him on Facebook if you guys don't, man. He's always got good stuff on there. You know, he brings up an interesting point. Are we going to wait till somebody dies in the ring to try to clean it up? But in fairness, you talked about Ray Boom Boom Mancini and Dooku Kim. There was no PEDs involved there. And as far as the Charles Conwell thing, I don't think there was any PEDs there. And as far as the kid from Detroit, I don't believe there was any PEDs involved there. I guess, where he's going.
Yeah, the sport is dangerous enough as it is.
It's dangerous enough, correct.
Even without the PEDs, add the PEDs on to that, that magnifies the danger.
Correct.
I think that's what he's trying to get at.
Yeah, yeah. And again, that's where it's going to go south. When something like that happens and somebody gets hurt, and they find out the guy is on PEDs, that's going to be the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and he's right. And unfortunately, you're looking at a sport that's not well governed. It's not well sanctioned. It's not well governed at all. It's the wild, wild west. It really is. And, you know, PBC tried to come in and they tried to, you know, I think they tried to put that UFC model in, where they're trying to get X amount of guys in their stable and they're, you know, and they have their own governance and everything. And I loved it. I loved the idea, but they, for whatever reason, were not able to follow through with it. It's the wild, wild west scenario here. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So speaking of PBC, Inside PBC has been canceled.
Jason's crying about it already.
That show sucked, man.
He loves that show. He fucking loves that show.
Does he really?
Oh yeah. That was like watching that was like to him that was like watching porno. He used to get off on that show so much.
The show was terrible, son.
He loved that show.
It was like a giant love fest. That's all it was.
Oh my god. It was so
it was horrible, right? It was so corny. And they never, you know, like they never mentioned Terrence Crawford's name on they didn't any other fighters. And I get it. It's PBC show. I get it. But, I mean, at least, you know, I mean, something.
Well, at least
you know?
Max has his show, and he talks about all the fighters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how you should do it. It's a boxing show. I get that you were not going to have, you know, fighters from Top Rank on there. I understand that. But come on, man. You know? I don't get it. Yeah. Nacho says Jason must have broken the TV when he found out PBC was canceled.
Oh, he was crying.
Jason's on suicide watch. Insane, man. Insane.
He was crying.
Yeah, so that show's been canceled. I hated that show. I only watched it a couple times. It was so corny. Come on, man. Jamel Herring, who was set to fight July 2nd, not going to fight now on July 2nd. He was tested positive with COVID. His fight's now been moved to a different date. Now, he was asymptomatic, right, Bede?
Yes.
Yeah, he was asymptomatic, so.
Did you see the new rule they have now? If someone in the fighter's camp has it but the fighter does not, then the fight can still go on. But before, if someone in your camp had it, then the fight would get canceled. But what they're doing, though, is they're testing the fighter very stringently to make sure he doesn't have it. So it's not like they're not testing the fighter.
You know, and we wonder why. You know what? I'm gonna just go on a rant here. We wonder why the cases in the U.S. are higher than anywhere else in the world. You wonder why. Yeah. This is why. Because you guys are morons, man. Because you know what? In Europe, that stuff's already on the way out. Because they've done the right thing. They've quarantined. They've locked everything down. They've done everything they needed to do. What do? We open up bars. Everybody flocks to the bars. You know, they got all these protests outside. Everybody flocks to wherever they're going. They wave their freedom around. Well, we can do what we want, blah, blah, blah. And they go down there, and now all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, what happens? It spikes, and it spikes big time. So now the bars that were open now have to close again. And you know how much money that's going to be? Those small businesses aren't going to recover from that, man. It's ridiculous, man. It really is. Stop being stupid about it. If he's got somebody in there, don't let them fight. You know what I mean? Asymptomatic, because that's what we're going to do next. Well, if he's asymptomatic, he's okay to fight, you know. I'm telling you, man, like, stop being stupid about it. It's only going to be longer. That's all you're doing. Every time something like this goes on and you find a guy like this or you try to edit a stupid rule because you want to make some money, it's gonna be worse. It's going to get worse.
But these red states aren't shutting down. They're not going to shut down again, these red states. They're just not going to do it.
Yeah, that's why, hey, look at Texas. Look at Texas. But what was it, 6,000 a day now?
Yeah.
They're up to?
Yeah. But I will say,
go ahead and open it back up. Go ahead.
The deaths are kind of going down.
You know why the deaths are going down, okay? Because the young people have caught it. Because the young people are the ones going out there and catching it. They're the ones getting it now. Wait a few more weeks. Because the young people now are going to transmit it to their parents and their grandparents.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know what I'm concerned with? I'm going to keep an eye on the hospitalizations and the death rate. Because I've been looking at some of the statistics, and the death rate is, when you look at, compared to the amount of people that have it, the death rate is not that, it's a lot lower than they anticipated.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And I still am curious, because we're hearing information that if people are asymptomatic, that it's almost very hard for them to pass to somebody. It makes sense to me. I mean, I just... I don't know, man. I still have a lot of questions about this virus, and I'm skeptical about a lot of information that's come out on this virus. My big thing is I'm concerned about the hospitalizations, and I'm concerned about the immune compromised people. But I think most people that get it, man, I think they'll be fine with it. I'm just thinking that's just how I feel.
Most people who get it will probably be fine. You're right, but you know, you got to check that box. I mean, look, grandparents, your parents, grandparents, whatever. I mean, those are the ones you have to worry about. My dad is a prime candidate. I mean, if he gets it, you know, he's got every box checked against him, you know, that he may have a rough time with it,
and
you know.
And I respect where you're coming from. I'm not going to change anybody's mind at all. There's people at work that are just very afraid. And they are just extra careful. There was a guy at work, supposedly his son has it, but he was saying that his son doesn't live with him, but then people are questioning that. And a lot of those people at work that were concerned about this. And but I guess he can still come into the office because he's saying his son doesn't live with him, whatever. But some people are still very...
I'd be real concerned about that.
They're really scared about it, you know. Like people... I'm not here, I don't want to change anybody's mind. I have my opinion on it, and I'm not going to sit here and try to force my opinion on anyone else. You know, if people are concerned and they want to be extra safe, then that's on them, you know? They have every right to feel that way. I don't want to be unsympathetic to people's concerns. I don't want to do that. But
yeah,
when you look at these athletes that have caught it, I don't think any of them have had symptoms. They've all resolved. I just think that healthy people deal with this virus very well.
Oh yeah, absolutely they do. And the younger people are going to deal with this very well. And I think like if you or I caught it, we'd deal with it very well. The problem is, you know, if you give this to your brother gives this to your sister gives this to you, you know, your aunt or somebody like that.
Yeah.
Or and that's where.
And I don't know. They're saying they're coming out with information, and I don't know if an asymptomatic person can really give it to somebody. I don't know. I suspect it's hard.
I think that's the thing is that you don't know.
I suspect it's very hard. That's just judging by all the other viruses out there, just judging by circumstantial evidence through the history of other viruses, it's hard to catch something without having symptoms.
Right.
Like, if someone doesn't sneeze on you, then how are you going to get it? And now they're even saying about the contact, like when you touch stuff, they don't even know. as contagious as they once thought. But the one thing that they are saying is the sunlight, not the heat. It's the sunlight that kills.
Which is odd, because we're right here in the middle of the summer. People in the UAE have got it. We're right here in the middle of the summer, and it's not like the flu where it dies down. I mean, it's picking back up. It's weird.
Now Roberto Duran has it, but he has an issue with one of his lungs, because he got in a car accident and he lost some breathing capacity out of one of his lungs.
Yeah.
Now you may have to worry about him.
Yeah, they expect him to make a full recovery, though. Yeah, that was the next story was Roberto Duran actually came down with it. They do expect him to make a recovery, but yeah, that's the other thing too. Like I said, with, you know, he's got a little bit of damage to him. He's a little bit older, and but I think that he'll probably be okay.
Yeah,
that's what everybody's saying anyway. That he should be okay. But yeah, it's a tough thing. But when I hear that, you know, people in the camp or whatever. I don't know. I think you're asking for trouble. And somebody in the chat, I think maybe was it Connor in the chat? I don't know. But somebody said, you know, if they keep this up, there's going to be no sports. We don't even know. That's the other thing. We don't even know if there's going to be football. Baseball's coming back. It's a non-contact, though. You got baseball coming back, soccer coming back, and stuff like that. But no audiences, you know. And I'm not even 100% sure that, you know, we can really do the football thing, the college football anyway. You got to bring all those kids back to school. It's going to run rampant. It's already running rampant on those teams.
When they were having the big meeting about, you know, when the government was talking about it, they were having with the hearing and stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the senators are like, these kids are very low risk. They want the kids to go back to school. And I don't know how you feel about it. Do you want your
kids
to go back to school?
What about the teachers, though? What about the teachers? What about the custodians? What about, you know, because those kids, they carry this, and they get it.
There's a lot of moving parts here to just say, okay, we're going to let the kids go back. What about everyone else involved in the school? Because there's a lot of older people.
Well, sure.
Like, how old are the lunch ladies?
Yeah, well, and you know, you got the custodians, you have the lunch people, you have all the workers there. You have principals.
Those are usually older people. Like, there's a lot of older teachers. My aunt, she was a teacher till she was like 60.
But again, you know, you take those people and you say, okay, well, they're a little, you know, they could probably deal with it, but then they go home. And who knows? Who knows their scenario at home?
Well, my concern with the kids going back to school is the elderly people that work in the school.
Yeah.
They could be susceptible.
Right. And then what? You know? Then, you know, you take college and you put all those kids back there. Again, they have professors and they have all the and what happens when, you know, and because it's going to happen, one of those kids is going to die.
I mean, how many times does a kid sneeze and you have to tell them make sure you cover your mouth?
Jesus,
right?
Schools. Let me tell you right now, I can tell you straight up, schools and hospitals. If you want germs, you go to those two places. Those are the absolute worst places on the planet.
For sure.
You know, I mean, they just are. You know. You know, I can picture, you know, giving money to the lunch lady, the money's wet or something, like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just, that's kids. That's just kids, man. It's crazy. Craziness, man. All right, so let me tell you this next story. This is funny. Now, you sent this to me. Tyson Fury cuts ties with the mob boss. And mob boss was Dan Kinnean. Was it Kinnean or something like that?
Yeah.
So Bob Arum told Gareth Davies of the Daily Telegraph, over the weekend, I've had a lot of conversation with Tyson Fury, and what we both decided is that myself, Top Rank, and Fury will do all the negotiations in the future. We've talked with Dan, who Tyson and I both love and admire and respect, and he understands that it's best, you know, that the negotiations on Tyson's side be handled that way. Both Tyson and I have discussed this with Dan, and he is amenable and satisfied and wished us luck. He only wants the best for Tyson Fury. It's kind of a sad situation, to be honest with you. And I don't know, you know, like I said, I don't know much about Dan Kinnean. You know, maybe he's had his problems in the past and stuff like that. But I guess for publicity reasons, it's a bad look for the world champion to be juiced in with the mob. It's bad for any, you know. But that sucks, man. That sucks for that guy. Because again, he's never been arrested for it. Never been.
No convictions.
That's correct. No convictions.
Bob's been convicted of bribing fucking Bob Lee of the IBF. So Bob's got worse.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I think it really sucks for that guy. I think it's really unfortunate. I feel bad for him. I do. I really feel bad for him. And I feel bad that Tyson Fury was put in this situation.
You know, the problem with the whole thing with Tyson Fury, man, he's got like a bullseye on his back for whatever reason. Everyone is really looking to dig down deep the dirt on Tyson Fury. But every time, like he's a champion, and since he won the belt, people have been going real hard trying to, like, with the glove gate, with the boar meat stuff. And
yeah.
All this, like, it's just now they got this story. Like, they're just not going to leave this guy alone, man. They're going to keep going at him and keep going at him and keep going at him. Like, what's wrong with Tyson Fury? Why does the whole world have, like, why does a lot of these boxing people have an axe to grind with Tyson Fury? What did he ever do?
Bronze Plumber says, Irish government said Kinahan killed 18 people. You feel bad for him. Listen, wasn't convicted.
All right, so
wasn't convicted.
So why is he in jail if he killed 18 people?
Yeah. You know? So there it is. I mean, you know, it is what it is, man.
Ice Cube and Dr. Dre said they kill people, too, on their albums, right?
Right.
Come in on, I mean, anyone can say anything. Everyone's a gangster.
Yeah. You know? Hey.
Everyone's a gangster on social media, but let's look at the facts.
He didn't do it. It is what it is. He said,
why is he not in jail then? I mean, what did he do to keep himself out of jail?
Well, hey, maybe his guys don't rat. You know, I don't know. But look, man, hey, he hasn't been arrested. You can't, hey, or hasn't been convicted. It's what it is, man.
We can't just go off of rumors. And
no. We're fair over here. You know, you've been convicted. You know, but again, if the glove doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. What am I going to do?
That
jury said, hey, jury said what they said. It is what it is.
What are we going to do?
That's right. Check this out. So Oscar De La Hoya, your boy, recently gave an interview. And this was this is runner-up, by the way, for Trainwreck of the Week here. De La Hoya recently gave an interview to Ring Magazine and stated he was thinking about a comeback, but not an exhibition, Beeb. He wants to fight the best out there. He wants to fight the guys, the best out there, the best boxing has to offer. Quote, I actually want to see what Tyson does first, De La Hoya said. I have been working out. I've been training. I've been staying in shape. Obviously, I'm not in fighting shape yet to go 12 rounds. I'm sure I could get there. We'll see. I want to see Tyson perform, see how his reflexes are, see if he can go past 3 or 4 rounds. And we'll see, and then I'll make my decision. What's Tyson have to do with your decision? What does Tyson have to do with your decision at all? First of all, I don't think Tyson's coming back. But number two, what is his physical condition have to do with your physical condition?
This guy is like a weirdo.
He's a weird, complete weirdo.
He is the most bizarre human being I've ever seen in my life.
You know, why don't you focus on Ryan Garcia's career? Why don't you focus on Canelo's career? You know, why don't you focus on that instead of focusing on yourself? You know, listen, I agree. Ryan Garcia is being a little bit of a diva here, asking for that kind of money in this climate. I get it, but don't call him out on Twitter for it. And listen, I tell you what, you want a blockbuster show? Sign on to fight Canelo, because I know Canelo would love to beat the crap out of him. You know, sign on to fight Canelo. I'll pay for that one.
He's gonna lose all his fighters again. You watch.
Well, he's already done it once, right?
Yeah.
Because he was slipping. He was, you know, doing coke or whatever he was doing, you know, dressing up like a chick and, you know, messing with kitchen utensils. You know, I don't get him, man. I really don't get him.
He's going to lose all his fighters again. You watch.
Yeah. Outlaw said he was trolling. He does this every few years. Yeah, but you know what? Instead of doing this, why don't you do something to help your fighters?
Yeah.
Why don't you do that instead? All right, and this was I heard this last week right after we did the show. I heard this last week, and you sent me this article. And I got to be honest, I didn't really get the article or what they were trying to say. The article honestly looked trumped up. about something about with him and Floyd or whatever. It didn't make a lot of sense, to be honest. But Juan Hangman Yothin, the TBE, as we call him here, has not retired. We sourced this from a social media account that said he was retired, and then he came back out and says now he's not retired. He announced he's still fighting. I got to be honest with you. Does anybody really care? I mean, he's 54-0 when he retired, and, you know, it's a big – obviously Mayweather's got a better resume. We all get it. You know, nobody's heard of anybody Manny Yothin's fought. I get it.
Like, you're pissing all over this guy's career. What's going on? He's a champion.
I'm just saying, Beeb.
He's TBE.
Either retire or don't retire. But what are you trying to do here? Attract attention to yourself? Like, come on, man. You posted on your social media that you're retiring. And then 24 hours later, you said, no, I'm not retiring. Son,
Floyd DM'd him. Said, keep it up. Floyd DM'd him. Said, hey, keep it going, kid.
Keep it going. What was that? Okay, so you read the article. The article that you sent me, it was almost like they were trying to make a story out of nothing.
It was one of the most ridiculous articles ever written.
Right? I mean, because he was trying to say that Floyd had something to do with it. There's no proof that Floyd had anything to do with it. Sometimes that channel that you sent me, sometimes they have good news and sometimes not so good, you know?
I mean, the boxing media as a whole leaves a lot to be desired.
Jesus, do they ever. Do they ever.
It's ridiculous.
Awful. Awful stuff. But, I mean, do you really care if this guy retires? I mean, what does he try? I don't understand. He retires and he unretires. Nobody cares that much. How much run does he get outside of this channel? I got to be honest. Like, how much run does this guy get, you know?
I was going to send him, an appreciation letter.
An appreciation letter.
I was going to send him something. thank you for the great memories.
Thank you for the great memories of the fights we never saw.
thank you for letting us, you know, watch your beautiful storied career play out over the years.
Thank you for letting me watch you defend the title in a high school gym with 12 people there. There's nobody there.
Oh, that's not fair. This guy that is a world champion, 54-0,
man. 54
knocking him down one by one and still standing tall with a zero at the end of his ledger.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Pete.
And you are just taking a piss all over this guy's face. This is disgraceful.
I'm sorry. I think I might have went a little bit too far.
You're the guy who